This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be covering some of the latest headlines on COVID-19. We also have a poll running on our Twitter account asking you, have you taken a flight during this pandemic? If you haven't yet, would you? Tell us why or why not. Currently, 63% of our votes have said no, they have not taken a flight during this pandemic. Do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at palm oil and foreign labour. Because last week, the US imposed a ban on imports of palm oil and palm oil products from FGV over allegations of forced labor practices.
Now, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that a year-long investigation revealed signs of forced labor, amongst other things, and FGV responded in a statement that it was disappointed with the decision and that it has taken many steps to demonstrate its commitment to respecting human rights and upholding labor standards. Now, this isn't the first time that a Malaysian company has fallen foul of the U.S. labor regulations, or at least oversight there. Just last month, a rubber glove manufacturer Top Glove was also subjected to a similar measure.
In both, I think, the palm oil and rubber glove manufacturing industries, I think foreign labour has always been the main feature, a sticking point for us. So I think the question is, how will these bans impact the Malaysian palm oil sector?
Absolutely. So joining us on the line to discuss this matter is Koh Yew Leng, political economist at Segi Enam Advisors. Yew Leng, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, given that several Malaysian firms have been called out by the US Customs and Border Protection for violations in labour laws across different industries, this does seem to point to a systemic problem with the way Malaysia deals with foreign labour. What are the major problem areas in this regard?
Hi, morning. The concerns have been going on over the years. As you point out, several companies, Rubber Gloves Company, also another one before that. And, you know, Malaysia has been on the labor watch list for the U.S. Department of Labor for several years now. So the real issue here is that is the lack of labor rights. Malaysia has not been part of some of the key international conventions on forced labor. So these protections call into concern. And I suppose one of the important things would be to have a special ombudsman body that deals with the violation of migrant workers' rights. But of course, we must consider that we have 2.5 million registered workers, and most people say possibly another amount of the same. So on the balance of things, I don't think this is a very widespread problem, as Malaysia remains a choice migrant worker destination, but we do definitely have some problems. So the solution is to have such a body and to encourage companies to treat workers better.
When a customs ban happened for certain rubber glove makers, I think one of the things Top Glove did was to reimburse foreign workers for employment agent fees to ensure social compliance. We know some of these agents are linked to politicians. Should governments and perhaps the International Labour Organization do more to check for abuses? Is this the elephant in the room?
Yes, it's one of those quite intractable things, and that's quite well known in the destination like Malaysia. But also one of the things that when I talk to corporations, they've been trying to fix things by having more direct hiring of workers. And one of the things that's emerging right now really is that even in the home destinations, there is a major problem that they haven't been able to get to the right sort of companies, or the network to hire has also been a major sticking point. So I think we can look at both the origin countries, because for all our sectors, we do hire from the same countries, as well as look at the system here. So it seems to be something cross-border that needs to be looked into.
Now, let's take a look at the FGV situation then. What impact will this ban have on the Malaysian palm oil industry overall? Do you have any thoughts there?
Well, you know, FGV is a flagship government-linked company. So the ban puts the overall industry in questionable light. The damage to FGV itself is probably limited. In fact, the sales to the United States for palm oil is not very big. It's below 2.5%, 3%. But it's the wider reputational damage that is the real concern. We need to, I guess, step up. There's been decades of effort to engage consumers and governments positively on palm oil. But I think maybe there needs to be a major overhaul in the thinking of how that is done. For instance, you know, we may have had issues over the years on various things. Malaysia's improved on the housing standards for migrant workers. Now we have these contractual terms, the cost of workers actually coming to the country. is this a problem that was, I don't know, maybe over 10% before? Is it now less than 5%? Is it less than 0.5%? I think these statistics and the numbers need to come to better light to show that these things have been improving and to counter this growing perception.
So what are some of the best practices, or what aspects do you see that might need improvement in coming years?
Well, in terms of these aspects, it's to do with giving the passports back to the workers, that they have their rights on that, the minimum housing standards, that they are paid for overtime, that they're not overworked, that their contracts are what they expected it to be from the home country, and that they are reimbursed the cost of their coming. And this is it 12,500 ringgit? Some people even talk about multiple times more than that. So these are all aspects of things which, whether it's electronics industry, whether it's rubber gloves, whether it's palm oil, a lot of the biggest corporations have been working hard on it. Ironically, they're the ones who are targeted on this. The wider industry needs to buck up as well.
In light of this ban and that the palm oil industry has sustainable standards already, are our companies not complying with these standards, or are these standards are not adequate, or perhaps enforcement is a problem?
Well, we have in the palm oil industry, Malaysian sustainable palm oil standards. They are seen as somewhat lesser than the International Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil. But to be fair, this RSPO has also not helped the industry's image overall in countering image questions about sustainability. So although the MSPO is sort of seen as less stringent, it is going to be more widely enforced. So these are going to be highly complementary. And in terms of their focus, whether it's environment or labour, I think their standards are being upgraded and rewritten, and they need to then be able to provide statistics and information that can inform enforcement agencies overseas as well as policymakers overseas. Because I think for certifications, perhaps it's a bit confusing for people, and they need to offer better clarity.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Yuling. That was Kor Yuling, political economist at Sugi Enam Advisors, giving us a bit of insight into the palm oil industry as well as into the wider issue of foreign labour that we appear to have here in Malaysia. And I was interested in some of the best practices or aspects that she highlighted which need improvement, one of which is, of course, passports, which is something that you see very often in the Malaysian society, which is that employers keep the passports of the foreign workers or domestic foreign workers that come to work for them. And I've heard a variety of excuses as to why, the primary one of which is to stop them from running away or jumping, breaking their contract. But the obvious answer to that is that they are human beings and it is within their right to break their contract if they feel so fit.
Yes, I know of a colleague, an ex-colleague who used to keep the passport of a helper in the office. Very interesting. But I think, back to palm oil, I think I'm also very interested to know, in general, who might be most affected? Will it be the small holders or large holders? They may be exposed to this risk of a ban by the US. And also, I think she brought to light some standards, MSPO, although seen to be less stringent, maybe they need to be more enforced, maybe more clarity in certification standards too.
Yeah, and this is something we've seen over the last, I think, not just few months, few years. And to be fair, a lot of the, particularly the rubber glove makers, because they're because they supply many of these other countries, they are held to certain standards, right? So things like they've made it very clear over the last few years that isn't we give them lockers, we don't touch, we don't hold their passports. These are all very. They're trying to do their best to make all this very clear. But I guess whether it's applied across the board or whether all companies achieve those standards, that's going to be the discrepancy there, because obviously there is a concern here with particularly the US Customs Border Patrol. This is not the first company, nor the first industry.
Yes, and of course there has also been word that there is another company in the US CBP's crosshairs now, although there hasn't been any confirmation as to which company that is just yet. So we'll be keeping a close watch on developments on this story. But right now we have the 7:30 News Bulletin coming up, and up next we're speaking with James Teo, transport analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, on how the aviation sector is faring in the wake of the pandemic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.